unpacking life's complexities, one topic at a time. You're listening to Complex Context. Here is your host, Rob Impact.
Welcome to Complex Context. I am your host, Rob Impact, and I'm glad that you're back here so we can have another discussion about life and the intricacies behind it. There's been quite a bit of growth since the first episode dropped, and I'd like to tell you about it. Originally, we were mentioning from episode one that we were only going to be on X, the former Twitter, and due to demand, we already had to set up a Facebook page, so I encourage you, definitely check us out on Facebook. Give us a follow, let us know that you're listening, or maybe if you're interested in participating, that's what it's there for, right? Facebook.com/complexcontext1. You can also check us out again on our X account at twitter.com or x.com. I don't know x.com. It just looks weird in your search history, so maybe still use the twitter.com URL. Our username is at complexcontext1. Our official webpage, thanks to our distribution partner at Podbean, where we have links to all of the places where you can listen to us, it is at complexcontext.podbean.com. Now, what am I talking about, all the places that you can listen to us? We are on 11 different streaming platforms. I mean, all of the big names that you can think of, this show is on, and I'm so proud of the effort. Thank you very much. Please pass along to your friends and your family. This is the show where we get to talk about life. How has your week been? It's beautiful here in the Boston area. At the time of recording this, we're talking upper 60s. It's a sunny day. It's beautiful out. The birds are out and about. There's no real humidity that's being noticed. Don't you enjoy these days? These are the kinds of days that I really just want to take and put it in a bottle and be able to go back and have them whenever I desire, at my leisure. I know that's not the way life works, but when you get one of those prime time spring days that just makes you feel good, you feel good. And I feel really good. I hope you are as well, depending on where you're at and what the weather situation is. But it's been a wonderful week for me. A little bit trying of a week in terms of, I don't know what exactly is causing it, but I've had moments where it's been difficult for me to maintain concentration at various times during the week. And I don't know if it's because I'm excited about doing this show and being able to discuss different topics and interests with you, or if I'm just with spring fever and ready to go outside and not really commit a lot of my personal time and effort beyond wanting to sit out there and enjoy the weather. But I know we all have those days where we kind of struggle, and I had a few of those this past week, but hopefully in the week ahead should be all gravy. We're going to see. We're going to try. I want to talk this week about something that grabbed my attention specifically this morning while I was out with my family, and that is manners. Now, this is one of those things where you're going to hear the topic and go, oh my Lord, this is so boring. What do we want to talk about that for? If you have that attitude, you might be the one who I'm aiming this episode towards, because I think it's something that we all are both guilty of and something that we could do a better job of in terms of having them, following them, being kind to each other. Now, let me give you a little perspective here. Let me provide some context on this complex issue. See what I did there? See what I did? Yeah, that was pretty smooth, wasn't it? So I'm out with my family getting coffee, iced coffee to be specific. Anybody that's in the Boston area knows it's got to be an iced coffee no matter what time of year it is. So we're getting iced coffee and picking up a couple of breakfast items. And when I get to the coffee shop, I open the door and there was a gentleman walking out. So I'm off to the side holding it, and the gentleman walks through with his products, and that's it. I was like, okay. So then we go in. We proceed to get our order. Everything's good. We're exiting the coffee shop. And as we're getting ready to exit, I'm the first one at the door. I was holding it open with the intent of my family passing through, but there was a gentleman on the other side coming in. So I said, oh, I'm thinking to myself, I'm the door holder today, I guess. So just the timing of it. So I hold the door, let the gentleman come in, who's coming in, different person than obviously the one who was exiting when I got there. And he just walks right in. And I look back and I'm going, really? Twice? It was one of those things that really just got me. And it probably shouldn't, right? Because we use the excuse of, oh, those people. Oh, there's those kinds of people out there. Oh, you know, it's just those people. But we're all those people. If you're trying to make an excuse for someone for not having the courtesy of acknowledging your kind gesture, we're really kind of throwing ourselves under the bus because we're those people. We're all together. We're all supposed to be looking out for each other as a society. And that's not necessarily the case here. So I didn't get a thank you from the gentleman who was exiting when I got there. I didn't get a thank you from the other gentleman who was entering when we were all ready to leave. It's really just an issue that I think so many people take for granted and minimize the impact of it. Why is it that something as basic as saying please and thank you when it's appropriate, why is that so difficult? You would think that I'm asking the world or expecting the world of somebody when I'm talking about this. And for some people, it does come off like that. Like it's such an ask. And it really shouldn't be. For me, growing up, it was an ever-present, very prevalent concept to grow up with and to follow. Say please, say thank you, and may I, just basic behavioral pleases and thank yous and all that, respectfulness during interaction with each other. And I never really thought about that, not when I was younger, not as I continue to grow older. I never was one to be like, oh, I'm going to rebel. I can't believe it. I'm not going to say please to anybody, or I'm not going to thank anybody for what they did. I'm rebelling. It never was like that. And I'm not trying to insinuate that that's the mindset of people who are not following this basic premise in society. What I am saying is, if it's not that, then what is it? Is it an upbringing kind of thing? We together should really, right, this is one thing that we as a people should rather easily be on the same page about. It's not a grand effort. And the sincerity behind it isn't a lot to ask, unless you really don't feel thankful for people doing nice things or helping each other out, then we're talking a whole different subject, which might be a future episode. But those kinds of things just really, they're really important, I think, to everybody's ability to not just navigate through the day, but their willingness to continue such gestures during our day-to-day interaction. So why is it that it's missing? Why is it ever present, the lack of manners and expressing it? Part of me thinks, so theoretical, there's an aspect of pride to it. And when I say that, it feels weird coming out of my mouth, hearing myself say that. But we're in a world right now where people are falsely prideful. And by that, I mean, we have this kind of concept, this cloud over our heads that we're supposed to be uber self-sufficient and we're supposed to be the ultimate master of our domain. And in doing so, maybe somehow acknowledging someone's kindness is a symbol of weakness. And it's not. And I don't know why anybody would think that. I'm not too sure how that premise would even come to fruition in a widespread manner. But I really feel that that is a relevant possibility, is that we have so many prideful people that are overly confident in how they carry themselves and their expectations in life, that it's been dismissed to give that thanks and give that acknowledgement to others who are helping us along the way. It's terrible. Now, let's look at it not just from a verbal perspective. Let's look at it from a behavioral perspective. Let me kind of swing around here. Let me take a U-turn, if you will. Now, the please and the thank yous and the may I's, of course, that's a basic foundation of manners. But let's also talk about behaviorally how we approach certain scenarios depending on the environment that we're in. If you happen to be in a parking lot, the mindful thing, if you're backing out or if you're trying to navigate through finding a parking spot, is be mindful of people who are in the lot and crossing from one, I don't know if you want to call it lane or one row of parking spaces to the next row. There are some people that I've seen shoot through a parking lot that have absolutely no give a damn about somebody trying to just get to their car easily. That giving somebody, say, 5, 7, 10 seconds to cross from either a sidewalk or one row of parked cars to another, that's not you trying to be efficient with your own needs. That's just being an ass. So the mindful and manner-worthy thing would be, let me slow approach, let me stop when necessary, make sure that somebody can get across. We don't do that, at least not in the United States, or northeastern part of the United States. It's just, I'm in a car, get out of my way. Now, I can flip the script as well and say that it goes both ways, where you might have somebody who is mindful in terms of a driver perspective. They're trying to back out of their space, or they're trying to slowly turn around or turn the corner from one row to another. And you have somebody that can clearly see your reverse lights are on or your turn signal might be on. And they'll just walk out. They won't even walk out. They'll kind of do this fast pace, like, hey, I'm doing a little power walk. I'm just going to power walk. Oh, hold on. Car's coming. Got to power walk a little faster. Gotta beat the car. And now the lack of manners is from somebody else who is rushing to beat a car in order for them to get to their next point in their destination. And it's really, you know, that could speak to a bigger issue about cars and how vehicle and pedestrian kind of coexistence is all over the place. And that's probably going to be a future episode. But in terms of manners, is it really the kindest thing and, let's say, the sincerest behavior chosen to say, rather than look out for myself and the vehicle approaching me, I'm just going to take a chance. I'm going to shoot out and hopefully they have really great reaction time. And if not, I mean, hey, I could get hit and then I'll worry about it. I'll lawyer up. Like, this whole thing about trying to beat each other at each other's game, just be my, I mean, the worst that we could say if we notice that unintentionally we're causing a person to not get from A to B in how they are approaching a situation, we can say that we're sorry, but that's not a popular thing. That's not a very sexy thing. It's a very weak-minded thing, seemingly, in today's society. And we need to get past that. And part of the fallout from that is that we've lost our manners. We have lost our general manners. If you're trying to return something to somebody, they should thank you, right? Or if somebody says, I came on by, I saw that this was a little funky, I took care of it for you, even though you didn't ask, then I should be thanking them. Right. The only way that we're going to continue to coexist with any kind of measurable respect for each other is if we give the acknowledgement that we are indeed of a gracious nature, and we have to be okay with that. And we have to be okay with not just expressing it, but receiving it as well. There's this unwritten rule of vulnerability that seems to be encompassing our capability of expressing gratitude and receiving it. And I'm not too sure why it's felt seemingly to be this weakness if we acknowledge that and we're okay with that. It's not. It's very endearing. it speaks volumes about someone who is able to express themselves in such a fashion that they can show their appreciation, show their sorrow, show their thankfulness. We have to get back to that. We really do. Not doing so actually makes you appear weaker because you don't have that capability of maintaining such a basic foundation of personal interaction. And if you can't let that lead the way from your day to day, I don't know how anyone would expect to receive the gratitude and respect from another person. It just won't happen. You can't have it both ways. When we're talking about manners, the basics, right? Please and thank you. May I please have a napkin? May I please have a fork? That's all you got to say. We have largely gotten away from that one word, and I'm not really too sure why. Because when you walk away from that, you're almost conveying an expectation that it's deserved, and how dare I need to ask for something? I need a napkin. Give me a fork. I need more money. But, you know, we're not talking in the same context here, so that kind of exchange doesn't work for me. Nor should it work for most people. Now, obviously, there's going to be certain scenarios that would make sense, depending on if we're talking about people that, let's say, there's a disconnect with behavioral development and they just can't help it. Of course, I mean, we're not going to talk about that. We're talking about people that are of the capability and the mindset that you know better and you're just not doing it, right? Let's talk about money. Okay, I need $10. Okay, well, you better find something and sell it at that point, because that's not the way to initiate the conversation if you're asking for help. Because that's not really asking. That's really a statement. Oh, I need $10. Okay, I need something to drink. What's your point? As soon as we take away that vulnerability of us being able to express and emote and ask for help, you've changed the entire context of what the communication is. Now, this might be a case where it's just me, just a small subset of people like me that will hear this kind of interaction and go, yeah, I mean, good for you. So my expectation is, if you're trying to convey, hey, I need help, hey, I would like to ask something of you, that inclusion of the word please is paramount for me to understand the nature of why you're saying something and what I'm supposed to take out of it. So many people don't have that, and therefore we make these exchanges that come off like a bunch of statements that we're owed something or others need to take notice. And it doesn't work for me, bro. It doesn't. It shouldn't work for most of us. The fact that so many people have slept on this and we've allowed it to progress to the point where it's just not as prevalent as it should be in our communication and our exchanges with each other, that's really a shame on all of us. It really is. Even when you have people using manners, you're always going to have those folks that are on the receiving side of it take offense with something. Listen, we're not going to get into that right now, right? That's a whole different can of worms here in terms of how we receive communication and our interpretation of it. And we can discuss that in a future episode, but we really should focus on how is it that we should be showing our gratitude and showing our ability to ask for something in a manner that shows kindness and shows that we care enough to be respectful about it. When you're talking manners, let's talk about some of the older people in society. And of course, it's easy to go right to, oh, let's talk about the elderly. Yeah, of course it applies to the elderly. Let's talk about manners towards just adults. I'm talking adults in their 40s and their 50s as well. There have been times where I have seen kids from adolescent to teenagers talk to either their parents or other grown-ups, whether it be friends of their parents, maybe parents of their schoolmates, and they'll talk in a manner that is very casual and maybe in a way that's reflective of if you were joking around with a buddy that you were good friends with, and you have that kind of relationship where you've developed that understanding, and you can kind of forego some of the more appropriate gestures and expressions of your gratitude or asking for something. But that's not really at play when you're talking about your child or your friend's child or your relative's child. Please and thank you should always be present no matter what. And it has nothing to do with the fact that you're blood. Cool. I love you. And it's because I love you that I expect you to still be on par with what I'm doing and what I would expect your parent to do. Now, I can't force myself, nor should I, on somebody that doesn't want to help themselves with this. But it is still my place because it is my expectation that if I'm going to talk to you in that manner, that it's reciprocated. And whether or not that's consistent in the household, that's where this whole concept falls apart, is when you come across people that say, hey, mind your manners, sit up, pay attention, let's talk the dinner table. I mean, let's talk about the dinner table. You have those times where you have to have, in terms of a parent or just a grown adult, where you might have somebody contacting you about something. It might be an emergent work situation. It might be a familial emergency. It could be any number of things where you have to engage and communicate when you normally wouldn't, and you really just want to focus on having dinner time with your family. I get it. Those are going to come up, but I'm talking the times of with regularity that you decide to have a meal in front of you and you have loved ones near you and we're on our devices. Where are the manners there? Holy cow. It is my understanding that we will have our separate time and we will have the ability to engage with the extracurriculars on our device, or maybe we want to get back to a casual communication. We can do that, but if it is not of an urgent scenario, there is no business exposing each other to that kind of disposable presence and that whole aura of it by having a device out. And you're giving attention to that, but I'm going to be over here just minding my business, not saying anything to anybody. That does not fly. And the fact that we have children doing that and parents that engage just as much, if not more, than their children in doing that, what kind of message are we sending about the value of communication when you're dining with your family, or the importance of being able to just enjoy and savor the moment of having a nice meal in front of us and being able to enjoy that with the people that surround us? Our manners are completely off the table when it comes to us providing nothing more than just a body and no interaction, no acknowledgement, no showing of gratitude in being able to savor that meal in front of you. The manners are gone when we're talking about that. And there's a time and a place for everything. Now, I'm not saying you can't have that at all, but I think when you start to have a familial unit or, say, a group of friends that engages in that behavior, it's one thing if you've kind of mutually established beforehand, hey, here's the deal. I am going to be on a device because whatever, insert scenario here. And as a group, if you decide that, hey, I appreciate that, we can accept that, no worries, on and on, right? Now you're opening yourself up to everybody being on the same page and understanding no disrespect is intended here. This is just how we have established our expectation in being around each other if we're going to have a meal or if we're going to come together. Okay, that's its own scenario, and there's nothing wrong with that. You have to establish that, but you cannot get to that point until you have been shown and someone has proven to you that they have the mindfulness and the manners to appreciate your presence and to want to communicate with you to start with. When you start to develop a relationship that has that loose of an expectation in terms of how you interact with someone, right from the get-go, if I have somebody brand new that's sitting next to me or sitting across from me and they're so engaged in their own electronic device social circle that they have never really afforded the opportunity to enjoy the moment and to communicate and express themselves to somebody at the table, you're not going to develop that relationship. It's DOA. You're never going to get what you would expect from it. And that's why, as parents and as friends, we need to be accepting of being called out on our BS. Hey, by the way, I've noticed you've been on your phone for a while. You know, we should probably, like, talk to each other. And then the amount of people that go, well, it's okay. No, it's okay. No, it was just 5 minutes. No, I can still hear you. No, it's okay. If there is precedence with whatever scenario you're interacting with on a device to somebody else, just go to that person because they're clearly of a more important nature at that time than I am. And I would rather give that okay to someone and say, listen, I'm not going to be offended. I'm more offended with the false premise that somebody wants to have a meal and spend time and interact just to have me as a body and serve as physical company and not mental or emotional company. That is just as much not minding our manners. Why that is the case, I would love your feedback. Let me know if any of this rings a bell, if you can relate, if you can't relate. You can reach out to us. Let us know, facebook.com/complexcontext1 or @complexcontext1 on X/Twitter/whatever Elon wants to name his social media acquisition these days. You can also send us emails. We're more than happy to read them. If we have anything that you would like to express to us on that form, complexcontextshow@yahoo.com. So in line with phones and manners, going out and about, we talk about minding our manners. Now, minding our manners also goes with the concept of being respectful to varying environments where you have a mass of people gathering. And there have been way too many times on public transportation where I've gotten on and somebody is listening to a YouTube video or their music or having a phone conversation. No headphones, no nothing. I'm talking like, hey, I'm going to listen or I'm going to engage in something no different than I would in my living room. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Now, hold on 1 second here because I need a sip of water. See, again, it's one of those things. I want to be real with you. I'm not going to edit this out. Wait, listen, I could edit this out, but these podcasts where it's like, no, I'm not going to, I got to edit out when I take a sip of water or when I have to burp or if I have to fart. This is one of those things where this is real life, right? And we could do that. We could edit it out, but that's not real. I mean, listen, if we're going to have a show where we get to interact with each other, I want to be real with you. At least if I have to fart or burp, I'll say excuse me. I will probably laugh after, but I will ask to be excused. It's not anything I'm trying to do on purpose. It just happens. The same thing. People get thirsty. So one moment, please. Ah, that is some high quality H2O. So back to the public transit, and thank you for your patience with that. See, I just said please and a thank you. This was not to make a point. I sincerely needed to have a sip of water, but my point is made. I don't care, and there's a stigma, especially in the United States, about, well, you know, it's the kind of people that ride it. We are those people. This class or racial divide in order to justify, well, this is why it's okay for so-and-so to act a fool and not be cognizant of their peers being around and possibly having their peace or their comfort disturbed. Man, I want to say, brother, you are me. I am you. There is no difference. As much as you want to believe, because we might have a financial or a historical background difference, that there's a justification for that. I mentioned in the first episode where I was born and raised, there are and have been and probably will continue to be a pretty healthy amount of people that come out of that city that don't have that awareness or don't have that respect. And it's not relative to necessarily just where I was. I'm just speaking to what I can relate to, but I know because I've been in it. There are plenty of people that can go about their day expecting things from people without showing any gratitude or without being respectful to somebody's environment and trying to almost insert themselves and say, well, because I'm here, now you can cater to me. Have some respect. Mind your manners. Be respectful to the people that are providing an environment for you to be in. You can thank me. It's okay. Doesn't mean that you're any less of a Billy Badass than you want to be. It's really just the capability of you showing how adult you can be and how much your understanding of person-to-person interaction is important to your day-to-day and how people listen and how people perceive and how we can help you, right? So why someone like me can come from an environment that I did and develop that kind of situation of having the awareness that it's important to be mindful of people coming and going and their comfort. You know, why is that? Does that make me better than everybody else? No, not necessarily. There might be a very small handful that you could make that argument, but I'm not going to. What it means is that I had enough people around me to keep me in my place and say, hey, don't forget to go over there and thank so-and-so for doing this or for saying this. Or don't forget to thank somebody for inviting you over to their house. That's a big deal, right? Where we reside, that is really the core of what we built our daily comfort and daily familiarity with. And if we invite somebody over, that's a huge deal to me, right? It's a huge deal for me to have somebody over and say, hey, yeah, come over. We can have a meal together. We can talk or we can watch a movie or anything of that nature. It's important to show your gratitude for somebody allowing you into their own space because there is no requirement. There might be this social expectation that, well, at some point, they'll probably have me over. Okay. But you better damn well thank me before you're out because I won't want to have you over again if I don't feel as though that appreciation is acknowledged or at least absorbed to the point where it's obvious. And even if you don't say anything, I can just tell by looking at you. I don't know where along the way from having people teach me this and teach my peers this, I don't know at what point generationally where things fell apart. But things have fallen apart. There is, I'm sure, when it comes to children, there's probably a contingency of folks that feel as though, well, the teachers will put that concept in my kid's head. This is going to be a concept that I think will repeatedly show up throughout these episodes, which is, no, man, your teacher's job is to make sure that your kid or children have the basic skills to navigate through life and make sure that they're a functional, intelligent part of society. And yes, manners are a part of that, but much like a lot of things in life that are of grand significance, like finances, those are the types of things that might not necessarily have a class dedicated or enough of a curriculum or an administrative expectation that we're going to stick to this. And though manners are expected by our children's teachers, I'm relatively positive that there's still not a mass of time and effort spent, i.e., this isn't a situation where you're going to have your child in a week straight being exposed to how we should interact and how we should express our gratitude. It just doesn't happen, at least not in a public school setting. And that's not a knock on public schools at all. I went to nothing but, and my child goes to public schools, and I think they're awesome. But this is where, as the adults, quote unquote, of modern society, where we fall short is there's this expectation for some that somebody else is going to handle this. And this is how we continue to set up failure in forthcoming generations for people like me to eventually interact with and come across and go, I just gave so-and-so $5 for doing a good job. Or I just gave a cherished item to somebody that I thought that they would enjoy more and it would be better off for them to have it, and didn't hear anything that really solidified it was a good choice or that it was well received. You can't continue to expect being treated a certain way if you're not going to treat yourself. This is a basic premise in life. I'm not a big fan of cliches. I really am not. But I am, for this particular one, huge on the concept of treat how you want to be treated. I want the please and the thank yous and the may I's and the excuse me's. Excuse me. Oh, now here's one that we have yet to discuss. I'm a relatively bigger person. I'm 6'4", probably, I don't know, 236, 237, somewhere around there. I'm not the smallest person in the room, right? When I have to go somewhere public and you have these walkways, these corridors, these aisles, right? It is amazing the amount of times I'll have somebody walking towards me to the point where I think they're going to try and knock me out. They just continue to walk towards me. And I was brought up on, you always walk on the right side. Similar to how we drive here in the United States. You always drive in the right side. You always walk on the right side. I'll have somebody coming right at me. And it's gotten to the point where I'm going, listen, I'm doing something that in my perspective, and I haven't been told otherwise, this is what we're supposed to do. Now, I have the expectation that you will move across. And if not, we can say sorry to each other. There have been more times than I care to count where we'll get up on each other, me and somebody that's coming towards me, and I might move and go, oh, excuse me. And they'll just keep on walking. I don't owe you anything, but it is the proper expectation that I'm going to express being in your way, even though I'm walking in a manner that, in terms of how I was taught in society growing up, you always walk on one side. Now, again, if you haven't had that concept brought to your attention, we have to go back to, I don't know how you were raised. I don't know who taught you, who was there for you, who wasn't there for you. Use this as a learning time and start to incorporate it and do better next time, right? But for now, I will apologize and ask to be excused. I would expect the person that I'm saying that to say the same thing back, because I'm saying I'm expressing sorrow for being in your way. Why are you not expressing sorrow for being in my way? when you're the one who's walking all around like it, somebody that has no care in the world. Give the satisfaction back of knowing that if somebody is saying this and expressing that and has sorrow for being in your way, that you have the same. Even if you feel that you're right, just express it. Because that way you're mutually saying, hey, clearly we're coming from different backgrounds here, but we both did not intend on getting in each other's way and blocking our path and being able to continue forward. That has to be a mutual thing. The excuse me thing is just, I bring up my stature because I jokingly always say to a bunch of my coworkers and to my wife, this world was not built for tall people. It really wasn't. And a lot of the doorways or some of the sectioned off areas, depending on where you're going in public, it makes for an awfully difficult time to not get in the way and to not feel as though you're in the way. And you can't really blame your genetics, because how would you know? How would you know that you would end up being this very significantly statured person that's just trying to stay out of the way while maintaining their personal comfort, their personal space even? So if I'm saying excuse me, you have to understand that it really is an effort for someone like me, and that's just me. I can't imagine for people that are taller and, you know, more thick than I am, how they must feel in their interactions. Because if I'm saying excuse me, I'll even take a thank you. You don't need to, if it's just a matter of personal space and I'm saying excuse me, I don't want to get in yours. Just knowing that you've acknowledged the fact that I've taken that initiative, please let me know it wasn't for nothing. And even if you don't feel as though, because I'm the larger person, if you don't feel it's necessary to express that to me, if I'm going to express it to you, I would expect at least an acknowledgement. If not anything else, just an acknowledgement. Excuse me is a huge part of our manners that is missing. The personal space, I don't know what happened, because in a world where it seems like people are uber sensitive in terms of physical closeness and willingness to let others kind of in that space and maintain that desire for it, boy, there is a lot of lacking excuse me's that convey the complete opposite of your discomfort with proximity. So what is it? You know, that the manners thing really helps to, and it's not just an appropriate thing, it really helps to define the consistency of what your expectation is in terms of how you want to be treated and what you have going on. And we really need to have that consistency for each other, because otherwise we're never going to get this right. And you're going to continue to have a large mass of people who are just bitter about interacting with each other. We're at a point where a lot of people prefer interacting with their pets than other people. There's nothing wrong with that. But it gets further justified when you look at the quality of who's communicating or who is in your presence and how they express their gratitude or their sorrow or their unintended inconvenience. We have to be better. We can be better, and you have to take the initiative. Nothing's going to change if you think everything is owed to you. It does go both ways, and it's up to us to express if we think that there's a disconnect, that this is why we didn't say something or we didn't do something. Okay, let's have that conversation. But unless we're going to initiate that or be involved in it, we cannot expect to be treated how we deserve to be. We won't get it until we start doing it. And that's how we're going to become better. And I hope that you have a better day because of this conversation and this being able to absorb this perspective. I would really appreciate if you would express your thoughts and your feelings on this topic. And we would be appreciative to go over this on the next episode. complexcontextshow@yahoo.com, @complexcontext1 on Twitter/X, and facebook.com/complexcontext1. Don't forget, all of our episodes are available on our homepage, which is hosted thanks to our distribution partner, Podbean. We're at complexcontext.podbean.com. And there's also a new spot. If you would like to interact and be on an episode where we discuss something that's of interest to you, it doesn't have to be serious. I want some fun on this damn show too. So bring it up. What do you think that you have relatability in terms of a topic that you'd like to discuss? Is there something that concerns you? Something you're interested in? Something that you just want to express and kind of table tennis this back and forth? There is a spot for a guest host booking scenario where you can click on that and it will show you available dates and times on a calendar. You just put in very minimal information and then we'll confirm it. It's great. It's awesome. Now, when in doubt, as far as all of these social media things and all that, if anything that you're going to remember, I would highly recommend the homepage, complexcontext.podbean.com. That has everything, including links to the 11 platforms where we're distributed, our email, all of our social media. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. I love it. And I would love to hear from you. So don't hesitate. Send an email. Send a DM. Send a guest booking request. Whatever suits your fancy. I can't wait to be back with you next time. And we're going to have another discussion and provide some more perspective on all of life's intricacies here on Complex Context. I'm Rob Impact. Thank you so much. You take care of yourself. Do what you do. Do it often. Do it well. Just don't do anything I wouldn't do, and you'll be doing all right.
Visit the show's website at complexcontext.podbean.com. Complex Context is a Mass Ave Media production.